This is indeed the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Maureen. This is my home church, and I love being here. And I thank God for the opportunity to preach. It's always a joy and a privilege to do this. So, Pastor Daniel, thank you so much for the opportunity. And thank you, everyone, for coming to join us, celebrate this great joy. And for Holly and the band, God bless you so much. So within the week, I had to just learn this song by heart. And on SkyTrain, on the bus, at home, I keep telling myself, Tukende mukaliza balala mukalizia. I said, oh, this is a very nice language that I get to learn during this time. So thank you so much for your hard work. Let's pray as we get into God's word. Father, we are so grateful unto you for Jesus and for the opportunity that we can come before you and worship and praise. We pray that, Lord, you will open our hearts to receive your word. I pray that you will speak your word to us and you will cause the power in your word to transform our lives. We praise your name, Jesus. In your name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So today we are celebrating joy as part of Advent. So we started our Advent series with hope. And last week, Pastor Ben took us through the theme of peace. And today we are looking at joy. Amen. How many of you love joy? We are looking at joy. Amen. And by way of definition, joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. So it is not the same as happiness. It is deeper than that. And happiness is fleeting, and also it's fragile. And it depends on like moments and events in our lives that will bring about excitement. But joy, on the other hand, is long-lasting. It is characterized by contentment and satisfaction with life, and it comes from within. Hallelujah. The Advent joy that we are talking about today, celebrating, is the biblical joy. And it is deep-seated. It is a deep-seated joy. Bible calls it joy unspeakable. And it is linked to hope and peace that is found in Jesus alone. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the reason for this season. And one of the scriptures that speaks profoundly to me whenever I think about joy in this season is John chapter 1, verse 14. So John chapter 1, verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The incarnation, this is talking about the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. Jesus coming down, entering into human space to be like one of us so he could save us. So the incarnation is the greatest wonder and miracle throughout all history. The celebration of our joy is this, that the Most High God, the eternal God, came down to be with us. He came to be a human being, and he made his dwelling among us. So Charles Wesley's hymn echoes this in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I want us to just stand. You have your handkerchiefs. We want to take a praise break. and then praise God in this hymn, hallelujah. So he says that veiled in flesh the Godhead see, heal the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, Emmanuel. So the second stanza, which says that we are doing the second stanza, which says that Christ by highest heaven adore. Okay, ready, let's go. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold, he comes, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, heal the incarnate deity, pleased with us flesh to dwell, Jesus, Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Praise the Lord. You can take your seat. Glory indeed to the newborn King. In the opening chapter, John presents Jesus as the eternal Word. So John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the third verse, he let us know that Jesus is the creative Word. All things were made through him. And in the 14th verse, he presents Jesus as the incarnate Word, the one of a kind Son of the Father, who is himself God. The Word, which in the Greek word means logos, conveys the motive of divine expression and speech, and has a rich background in the Old Testament. So God spoke, and we know from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, and creation came into being. And he related to his people on a personal level. He spoke to his people. He came to them and he spoke his word through the prophet. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 2 says that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophet at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So here we see Jesus being the supreme and final revelation of God. He was revealed to us. And by this, he was a person. He wasn't just an abstract concept or philosophy. He dwelt among us. So the word of God became flesh. The Son of God came to be flesh. By the miracle of the virgin's birth, he took on a human nature. So Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says that he came, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Hallelujah. So Jesus took on our nature and he identified with every aspect of our lives from birth to death. Amen. And when he took on human nature, he dwelt among us. That is literally to mean that he pitched his tent, which is an allusion to God dwelling among his people in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, where his very glory was manifested. I read this commentary that I loved so much by Matthew Henry, and he said that when Jesus took on flesh, when the Word became flesh, the Word of God did not dwell among angels. The Word might have been made flesh and dwelt among angels, but that was not the case. It dwells among us, meaning that it resided with us. Amen. So Jesus, the coming of Jesus Christ is the coming of salvation. He entered our space. He entered our residence here on earth. And he coming, it was the dawning of salvation, was the dawning of redemption. I want us to read something from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Says that since the children, Jesus took on flesh. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Why did Jesus have to take on flesh? He partook of flesh and blood because we our flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So the scripture says that since the children have flesh and blood, he too shed in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helped, but Abraham's descendant. For this reason, he had to be made like one of them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hallelujah. So Jesus was revealed. Jesus came down to free us from the bondage of sin, to break the power of death, to break the power of slavery. And he won victory over sin for you and I. So scripture says that he disarmed principalities. He disarmed powers by his death. He disarmed and destroyed the power of sin. By the incarnation, Jesus coming into our space and putting on a human nature, he was able to save and deliver us. So in the prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, right from 20 downwards, he says that I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you will know the hope of your calling and this eternal riches and supernatural blessings that you have by virtue of Jesus coming down. Jesus came that you and I might have eternal life. And we know from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was the eternal life that was coming down into the earth. And Bible describes him, he is the light of the world. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. So he delivered us from the power of darkness, and he brought us into his kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. And for us, eternal life
It's so important. And this time that we sing of his praises, this time that we magnify the Lord, we shout for joy, we remember that had it not been Jesus entering our space and becoming like us, we wouldn't have had eternal life. So Luke chapter 1 verse 78 to 79 says that, you know, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, hallelujah, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The day spring from on high, the light from above shined on our darkness, that we will have light, that in his light we will have light. Praise the Lord. So Jesus gave us eternal life. Jesus gave us eternal life. He delivered us from our ignorance, the ignorance of the world. And God showed Jesus in the flesh so that he could deliver us. And you and I, we have salvation in his name. When Jesus was revealed, he was revealed to bear our punishment. He was made sin for us, scripture says, even though he knew no sin, that you and I might become the righteousness of God, to reconcile us to God, that we can have that boldness to come before God. Amen. And we stand in his righteousness. It is not our own righteousness, but it is his righteousness. So by his death, he brought us near to the Father. He came to reveal who the Father was to us. So one day when the disciples asked Jesus, he was telling them all about the kingdom of God, about the Father, and this place that he was preparing for them. And Thomas said that, Lord, show us the Father because it is enough. We've had enough of this. And Jesus said that, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So Jesus was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. He came to identify with our weakness, with us in every way possible. As we heard in the scripture from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And I love the second article of the Nicene Creed. In a way, it summarizes this way, that for us men and for our salvation, Jesus came down from heaven, and by the Holy Ghost, he was incarnate in the Virgin Mary and became a man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day in accordance with scriptures, and he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Hallelujah. And his kingdom will have no end. The coming of Jesus is the coming of joy. Praise the Lord. The coming of Jesus is the coming of joy. Joy that is born of the Holy Spirit, rooted in hope. And this hope, scripture tells us, does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And joy is a function of hope. Therefore, if your hope is rightly placed, then joy is inevitable. If your hope is rightly placed, joy will be inevitable because your hope is placed in things that are eternal, in things that are lasting. Hallelujah. So if your hope is in things that fade or things that perish, when those things are gone, then you will be miserable. Then you will be sad and disappointed, and your joy will be destroyed. But if your hope is placed in Jesus and his finished works, your joy will encounter even the worst situation, but it will not be shaken. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the apostles were summoned and they were beaten because they were preaching and propagating the name of Jesus. And Bible says that they rejoice in their suffering for being beaten because they considered that suffering because of the joy and their hope in Jesus. They considered themselves worthy to have suffered for that name. Last 2 weeks, Pastor Daniel was preaching, and in his message of hope, I captured this. He said something that you can still rejoice and be glad in the midst of trials, in the midst of the trials that you are facing today, because your joy is not rooted in your personal circumstances, but in the outcome of Jesus. Amen. Your joy is based on Jesus' outcome, but not in your own outcome. Right now, we celebrate this joy, the coming of Jesus. The birth of Jesus, the word of God made flesh, and the word that dwells among us. The word of God dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And church, right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God. But the good news is that he is dwelling right now in the hearts of every believer. He has tabernacled in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, this mystery that we are talking about today, is living in our hearts. Hallelujah. And Christ in us is the hope of glory. So we can rejoice in this glorious hope. For indeed, Jesus will come again and take us up into his eternal kingdom. And even now in this life that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Praise the Lord. So we can sing and rejoice. We can praise God. This is the season. This season reminds us of the great salvation that entered the world. And this joy is not a joy that is limited. It transcends time. Hallelujah. So if your joy is placed in Jesus, then that indeed is eternal joy. When everything at the end of time, this hope that endures, at the end of time, you have a place with Jesus. Hallelujah. So we rejoice, not because everything is okay. Amen. We rejoice even in our suffering. We rejoice in the midst of sadness. We rejoice because our joy is based on the fact that Jesus came and brought us eternal life. And he won the victory over sin and Satan. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. He won the victory over sin and Satan. Amen. He won that victory for us. And he has brought us near to God. Amen. And that is the place that you and I have. He has brought us near to God. And so no, the devil does not have power over you. Sin does not have power over you. He was revealed to destroy the works of Satan. Praise the Lord. So in this you rejoice. In this we shout and sing. In this we praise his holy name, because the greatest need ever of human being has been satisfied. Your need for God, your need for eternal life, the dawn of that need was the incarnation. When the Son of Man entered the space of human being, he made this possible. Praise the Lord. And so, I want to tell you, for you to even rejoice the more, this is your place in him. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says that, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. This is your place in Christ. By the incarnation, by the birth of Jesus, the salvation and the light that entered our space brought us to this place, that we have been the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. And this is what scripture says, that you may declare the praises of him. You will declare the praises of God. You will shout for joy because he called you out of darkness into his light. Hallelujah. So we choose to praise him. We choose to rejoice. We celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. We celebrate the King of Kings. We celebrate the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who loves us so much that he gave himself for us. Hallelujah. We have been delivered to proclaim his praises. Hallelujah. We have been set free to rejoice. We have been delivered for this kingdom of God, the kingdom that has no end. And so, the happiest day in one's life, I believe, is that day that you encounter the true and living God, the true living God. And that day when Jesus washed every sin away. When you encounter salvation, you encounter grace. And that grace of God that Jesus brought, scripture says from what we read, he was full of grace and truth. That grace and truth is the blessings and the joy that God's covenant faithfulness has given you and I. My question is your life today characterized by the joy of knowing Jesus and living for him? Is your life characterized by the joy of knowing Jesus and living for him? If the answer is yes, then I have a charge for you. Praise the Lord. If the answer is yes, then my encouragement to you today is that treasure that joy, amen, and make that joy known. Treasure that joy and make that joy known. You make your joy known by calling others to come and see that joy that you have. Hallelujah. So sharing the love of God with those who are still in darkness, that they will come to know the saving grace of Jesus, the light of the world. Hallelujah. If the answer is no, you don't know Jesus, your joy is not found in him, you don't know the love of God, you don't know, and you are not living for him, salvation is here for you. Hallelujah. He died and provided eternal salvation for all those who believe in him. So the story of Christmas, the story about Jesus, people of God, is the story that never loses its power. That story never loses its power. John 1:12 says that as many as believed him, said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Praise the Lord. So if you believe in Jesus today, you will become a child of God. You will be born into the family of God, the divine family of God. And this is the hope that he offers. That if you will believe in him, he will give you the right or the power to become God's child. This morning, salvation is here. This morning, hope is here. This morning, joy is here. Will you embrace Jesus to experience that eternal joy, to experience that eternal hope, to experience Jesus in every way possible? Because you can, because he was made manifest in the flesh so that you will know him. So if this is a commitment you want to make today, I want to take the opportunity also to pray with you. So just wherever you are seated, I just want us all to close our eyes for a minute. Wherever you are seated, the light of the world, Jesus, is in our midst. And the light keeps shining, breaking through every darkness. Probably darkness has characterized your life, and you don't know Jesus. Wherever you are, in your seat, just say this after me. That, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you entered my space, that I may know you. You died for me, and you gave yourself that I might have eternal life. Lord, I repent of my sin, and I lay everything down. I accept you into my life as the eternal life of God. Cleanse me and purge me. And today, make me your son. In your name, amen. God bless you. So if this is the prayer you made, I just want to tell you that it is the best decision ever, because eternal life is what we need. We need Jesus in our lives. We need eternal life. And you have a hope that endures even after the passing of this time, a joy that endures forever. Praise the Lord. So, church, today, as we go forth, let's celebrate this life, the light of the world, the incarnate word, Jesus, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, he knows you. He knows your suffering. He knows your joy. So if there is joy lacking in any area of your life, Bible says that the Holy Spirit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So he brings joy to us. He knows us. He knows when you are tired. He knows when you are weak, when you are strong, he does. So just to conclude, when I in the course of the week, I had to meet with Pastor Daniel on Zoom. And honestly, I was really tired. And I was like, Jesus, I wish I could just call my pastor and let him know that I'm unable to make this meeting. So I just was like, I just cannot. So I reached out to pick my phone to just text Pastor Daniel that, I'm sorry, can we postpone this meeting? And as I was reaching to pick my phone, I had a notification. And guess what? It was from Pastor Daniel. And it was like, you know, if you are tired, we can reschedule this meeting. And I was like, immediately I texted, what a miracle. Praise Jesus, because I am really tired. And I'd wanted to reach out to him that I am tired. And he did. Who knew me this way? God knew. He knows us. So to me, these are some of the details. It happens. Stuff do happen. And I know that he knows me. He knows my name. He knows what I am going through. So go in this assurance as you celebrate the birth of Jesus that he knows you. He came to identify himself with you. He brought you eternal life, the victory over sin, the victory over Satan, the victory over death, that you will have eternal place with the Most High God. Hallelujah. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Eternal God of glory, we just give you praise for who you are. We celebrate you, Jesus. And we thank you that you became like us, that you might save us. We celebrate this hope, this joy that you brought us, this peace and love. Lord, we pray that as we go through the day, may you remind us that this joy is not just here, but it transcends time. And if there is any area that we are lacking, Spirit divine, in terms of joy, we pray that may you, O God, restore our joy. May you restore our joy. May you restore our joy. We give you praise. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.